I've got to trust him. That's one attitude that must be above all the rest. Second, I must learn to wait on him. Wait upon the Lord. Be of good courage, he says, and I will strengthen your heart in Psalm 27. I must learn to wait. Now, most of us don't want to. Listen, if I'm going to know the will of God, I must trust him that he's going to show me. I must learn to wait on his timing. And that's very, very difficult. My soul waits in silence upon God only. I do believe in my own heart, as I think about how God has worked in my own life. And I hope I can say, I never say I've learned. I say I'm learning. I'm still learning. I believe one of the most valuable principles that God has placed in my heart, and that is to learn to wait on him. Learning to wait till you get clear guidance and clear direction. I don't mean being slothful and lazy and just putting it off. I mean that you are sensitive to the mind of God, sensitive to the Spirit of God, waiting for him to speak, ready to move the moment he says move. Learning to wait upon him is one of the most valuable lessons you can possibly learn. And so, listen, learning to wait upon him is extremely important. The third thing is this. My attitude must not only be to trust him and to wait upon him, but to be submissive to him. If I want to know the will of God about this, I've got to be submissive to him. That is, Lord, show me your will. And I won't say a whole lot more about that because I've already talked about that. But living in submission to the will of God, that means I'm willing to do the will of God whether I know it or not. Lord, I don't know what your will is, but whatever it is, I'm willing to do it. Now, coming to that place isn't always easy, but that's a sure way for God to show us when we come into his presence saying, Lord, whatever you want, the answer is yes, no matter what the issue is. Then I'm going to just say one last thing here, and that's this, and that is I must have courage. Sometimes the will of God is very testy. Sometimes the will of God is very demanding. Sometimes the will of God is very scary. You think, now, wait a minute, Lord, this has got to be the flesh. This can't be of you. You wouldn't say that. And then you get on your face and you begin to ask the Lord, now, Lord, make this clear. This is what I want you to do. Remembering, I'm going to be with you every step of the way. It takes courage to do the will of God. It takes courage sometimes just to hear what he has to say. So if I'm really looking to know the will of God, I must be willing to trust him that he's going to show me. I must be willing to wait upon him to give me direction. I must be willing with all of my heart to walk in submission to him when I don't even know what he's asking for me next. And then I must have the courage to say, Lord, whatever it is, the answer is yes. You know what? I don't know of anything much more exciting than to know that God says, here's where I want you to go, and look at that and think, there is no way, but you know that God says do it. And you know what? You know that when you take that step, all of omnipotence is under you to keep you from falling. That's how much God loves us. You see, I think God has planned the Christian life to make it exciting, to make it a wonderful adventure, so that you, listen, it doesn't make a difference how long you live, how old you are, or what happens in your life. Listen, the Christian life should become a greater adventure with every passing year, more exciting, more thrilling than ever before. Why? Because God is teaching you more. You're learning more about him. He's unveiling himself to you. And the idea that the older you get, the more you sort of settle down, just sort of get satisfied with the Christian life, you have missed the God that I know. You've missed the God that I know. If in your older age, you've just sort of settled down and thought, well, you know, I think I've learned enough. If you're studying this book, you've not learned enough. You won't ever get to the place you think I know enough about God. Now, this much I know. It is the will of God for you to be saved. This much I know. It's the will of God for you to be baptized. It's the will of God for you to be a part of a local fellowship somewhere. And I know there's some people who live in different areas of the country where they live maybe many, many miles away from a church and can't get there every Sunday. I do understand that there are those circumstances, health-wise and so forth. But under normal conditions, it's his will for you to be a part of a local body of people who believe God's word and love him, love each other. It's the will of God that you walk in the Spirit. It's the will of God that you love each other. It's the will of God that you forgive. It's the will of God, listen, that you and I are growing in our faith toward him. A lot of things I know the will of God for your life. And I just want to say to you, if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you ask him to forgive you of your sin, tell him that you're putting your life in his hand, and that moment you've taken the most awesome step you can take because you will have just changed your whole eternal destiny in one commitment of obedience to Jesus Christ.
Thanks for joining us today for In Touch, the teaching ministry of Dr. Charles Stanley. We can know much of God's will with assurance, especially when it comes to salvation. 1 Timothy chapter 2 tells us, that the Lord wants all people to be saved. If you're not a believer, you can trust Christ as your Savior today and begin walking in the will of God. Learn more at intouch.org. And to listen again, look for the link to Today on Radio on our homepage. Open our online bookstore if you'd like to order a copy of today's complete message. He will show you His will. It's also included in our teaching set, The Will of God. Again, that's intouch.org or call 1-800-INTOUCH. You can write to us at InTouch, Post Office Box 7900, Atlanta, Georgia, 30357. In today's Moment with Charles Stanley, we'll learn the value of waiting on God's timing. That's coming up.
Are you living a life of preferences or one that's based on God's Word? To enjoy a strong life, one that makes an eternal impact, we have to break free from the factors that make us weak. In Dr. Charles Stanley's book, Standing Strong, believers will find encouragement to construct a life based on the strength of enduring faith, built on uncompromised biblical convictions. To order your copy of Standing Strong, call 1-800-INTOUCH or visit intouch.org.
In Touch Plus is streaming on Local Now, featuring all the best of Dr. Charles Stanley.
We're to have strong convictions based on the Word of God. He's working out things that you and I would never know about in our future.
In Touch Plus, your streaming network for quality Christian programming 24/7.
Now watch this.
In Touch Plus, streaming free on Local Now.
You're listening to In Touch. Waiting on the Lord does not come naturally, but it's an important discipline for believers to learn and practice. Here's a moment with Charles Stanley.
Well, let me say this, and this is why people get in trouble. They get in trouble because they've just got to have it right now, and that is the society we live in. Patience says, I am willing to wait for clear guidance. But we learn to be patient by watching how God works. God may give you an answer to what you're asking, and then nothing happens. And he says in that 27th Psalm, he says, be strong and of a good courage. Wait, I say, on the Lord. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And I remember when I was going through a very difficult time, I came across this passage, and this is one of those that the Lord just laid on my heart. I don't remember reading it before that. My soul waits in silence for God only. I don't know how this is going to turn out, but God, I'm going to wait and watch you work. From him is my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. David had learned the lesson. I don't have any idea what to do maybe at this point, but I'm going to wait. And you may be silent toward me at this point, God, but I'm going to wait for you. And I go through those things at times when I think, okay, Lord, why don't we get on with the answer here? And yet I know you step ahead of God, unwise. And it's the biggest test of our faith. Do I believe that he's wiser about this than I am? When we wait, maybe we don't know anything about that waiting business. We say, okay, the Bible says that, so I wait and watch God work. Aha, then I've learned a vital step in prayer and in seeking his guidance. If I wait till he gives me peace in my heart about it, I'm always going to make the right decision.
At intouch.org, you can learn more about knowing God and trusting his timing. And if the gospel has changed your life, and if this program has been part of your story, please let us know. Tomorrow on In Touch, if you expect to know what God wants you to do, you need to know how to receive his guidance. Find help with that Thursday on In Touch, the teaching ministry of Dr. Charles Stanley. This program is a presentation of In Touch Ministries, Atlanta, Georgia, and remains on this station through the grace of God and your faithful prayers and gifts.
Welcome to Breakpoint, a daily look at an ever-changing culture through the lens of unchanging truth. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. Back in AD 325, the Council of Nicaea decided that Easter should be celebrated on the Sunday following the first full moon, either on or after the spring equinox. In other words, without going into too much detail here, the date upon which Christians celebrate the resurrection is the result of a sort of astronomical convergence. Well, this year, there's another fascinating religious and cultural convergence on the calendar. It's today, which is both Valentine's Day and Ash Wednesday. Could there be two more culturally different days than these? Valentine's Day is associated with flowers and candy. On Ash Wednesday, people receive dark smudges on their foreheads. On Valentine's Day, people expect romance. On Ash Wednesday, people expect to hear about repentance and self-denial. The words to remember on Valentine's Day are, I love you. On Ash Wednesday, the words are, remember your dust and to dust you will return. Now, one reason that these days seem to not fit together is that we've completely forgotten the real history of Valentine's Day. Before it was the corporate creation of greeting card companies, it was a day to remember 3rd century Christian martyr Valentinus of Rome. Not a lot is known about Valentinus, but the most widely accepted version of his martyrdom is that he ran afoul of Emperor Claudius II, who had prohibited marriage in Rome because of his belief that Roman men would be unwilling to join the army because of their strong attachment to their wives and families. So Valentinus defied the emperor by marrying couples in secret. He was caught and executed either on or about February the 14th. Now, whether the story happened exactly that way or not, every ancient reference to Valentinus associates him and February the 14th with martyrdom and sacrifice. And so the day, in light of this history, is far more fitting for Ash Wednesday and the observance of Lent, which begins today. On the other hand, our culture's view of love, sex, and romance is so twisted and dangerous, it seems appropriate to celebrate Valentine's Day with more than a bit of repentance. This is not to say that romantic love, or what C.S. Lewis called eros, is wrong. In fact, it's a gift from God. Lewis wrote in The Four Loves that when rightly ordered, eros causes us to, quote, toss personal happiness aside as a triviality and plant the interests of another in the center of our being, end quote. Romantic love, Lewis thought, could be a foretaste of what we must become to all if love himself rules in us without a rival. And that explains just how much eros has become disordered. It should not be seen as an end in and of itself, but as a means, something that points beyond itself and that points our hearts beyond ourselves to something higher and better. That higher love is, of course, agape. A love that only comes from God himself. Lent prepares our hearts to receive this total self-giving love of God, this love that caused God to become man and live and die as one of us for our sakes despite our sin and rebellion. Even so, none of that lets husbands off the hook with your wives, so don't forget the flowers. And to be better equipped to counter the lies about disordered loves that are so prevalent in our culture, check out identityproject.tv. That's identityproject.tv. The Identity Project is the most comprehensive library of on-demand videos and resources that address issues of identity, humanness, sexuality, gender that is available. It's all from a Judeo-Christian worldview. For a special Valentine's Day discount, go to identityproject.tv this month. That's identityproject.tv and enter the code BREAKPOINT at checkout. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street with Breakpoint. For more resources to live like a Christian today, go to breakpoint.org.